don't know what you've heard about G, but he's with the sweet spot 1-3. I give my good leg to heel, Kyrie. It's the afternoon, J-U-B. I don't know what you've heard about G, but he's with the sweet spot 1-3. He loves Nico like Lando loves his beans.
Yes.
It's the afternoon, J-U-B.
That's right. It's Tuesday. It's 2:38 here on the ticket, and this is the sweet spot, and we are joined by the Texas Radio Hall of Famer, one of the Courage Boys. It's the Marconi winning George Dunham. George, do you read us as we broadcast live from Choctaw?
Read you loud and clear, and now is the time that we got to did it on them.
Now, you are the main event here. You're following up Emmett and Joe Pavelski.
Yeah. We've been building towards on. You.
Dang.
Would you that be upset to know they didn't axe him anything? They didn't bring up Herradura? None of that.
Well, why would they? I mean, you can't expect the sweet spot to compromise.
No, we don't compromise
they
at all.
Would never, like that. If Larry Mize wanted a discount.
Now, he was eating beef jerky, which was kind of amusing to us because he just didn't care.
Yeah, no, he didn't care. Dropped an S-bomb in the middle of our conversation.
We're not going to tell him what he can and can't say on the radio.
He was slurping just a bowl of
Emmett's getting to be that age where he just doesn't care anymore.
Yeah. Has some HSOs about the Cowboys front office. Yeah. Yeah, it's
awesome. He will rip the Cowboys on you. He really likes to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. The Cowboys need to be ripped.
Absolutely.
So we were talking Luka in our last segment, and of course the big game is tomorrow, Luka coming back to town, and we were talking about the reception. Like, I'll be at the game. I'm not really looking forward to it because it's going to be so weird. What do you think the reception is going to be like in the arena tomorrow?
As if he still plays for the Mavericks and it's like his last game.
Okay, so.
It'll be like Dirk's last game, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you.
How about this situation? So the game is tied in the fourth quarter, last possession. The Lakers have the ball. Luka has his signature step-back three, hits it for the win. Does the place go crazy?
Yeah, I think it does. And then they go into a Fire Nico chant.
Yeah.
See, we say that, but the people that are paying to go watch the Mavs games – You're definitely going to have your cheers. You're going to have people that are going there that are pissed off. There's going to be Laker fans there because there's always Laker fans at Mavs games. But I think the majority of people, they're not going to be upset. It's going to just be this weird feeling. Like, if this situation does play out, I'm not jumping up and going crazy and acting like my Luka just made a game winner because he's on the other team now. Like, I think a majority of people are just going to be, I think they're going to be sad more than anything.
They could be, but so many of those who are upset about it seem to be very vocal and can't wait to express how disappointed they are. And I don't know. I think they're going to be a majority of the crowd, and they're going to be pretty loud.
I think a lot of people have been waiting on this game in particular.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be just the diehard, we love our Mavs fans. There are people that are like, look, we're going to go make our voices heard on April 9th, and those are the ones that would freak out if he hit a game winner.
And if you go to the secondary ticket sites, I think what Justin's talking about speaks to that, because the cheapest you could get probably right down the 300 level is around $250, and maybe even like close to $500, like in some nosebleed sections. So you know that people that maybe aren't the MFFLs or season ticket holders, they are going out of their way because they want to be there to let Nico Harrison know the mistake he made and be that vocal.
Now, the more realistic expectation of what's going to happen, like, I think the Lakers win by a big margin. Like, I think it's a blowout tomorrow.
Second night of a back-to-back after playing OKC?
Sure.
You think it's just going to be a
–
they're going to house them? Okay.
And if it does go that way, and if it's in the second half and it's out of hand, I think there's going to be a lot of vocal Mavs fans that are doing the Fire Nico chants. Like, I think it turns into, like, a straight protest in the second half, if that's what you get. If it's a blowout.
Yeah, and I think and maybe it turns into boos, too. If it's a runaway game with each basket, it's maybe not a cheer, unless, I guess, Lucas scores them, but it's just a growing buzz of boos that, I think, permeates the crowd.
And George, I know that, you know, back in the 80s, you'd go to a lot of Mavs games and the reunion rowdies. What? And I've always heard about the booze that Kiki Vandeweghe would get. Were you ever, like, on hand for any of that stuff?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was amazing. I mean, they would just wait for him to touch the ball. With each possession where he would touch the ball, the crowd would just instantly boo. The other thing that's comparable to this, though, because he didn't want to play for the Mavericks and then,
right.
you know, refused to sign here and then, you know, was in Portland. The only thing I can I was covering the team when they traded Mark Aguirre for Adrian Dantley, and I'm trying to think of when Aguirre came back. But I think that was more split. There was a lot of Maverick fans who were really angry with Aguirre because they thought he quit on the team. But there were some who thought that he wasn't properly handled and that he was a superstar. And I just – but even that was not even close to this. Not even close.
Yeah, it's just such a unique moment when the trade happened because the – for all we know, Luka wanted to play here the rest of his career, and everybody loved him. And it's just it's the front office's decision to do this, where the team that we love has the player that we love, and we're kind of forced to pick a side here. And he goes to the freaking Lakers, too.
Lakers,
the freaking Lakers.
As the GM colludes with his best friend over the past 20 years. Yeah, it's it just sucks.
All those things that we tried to piece together that weekend in early February – it's like we're right back there again.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, okay, now what now? What? And the Lakers? And that's all they got. Okay.
Did you hear Cuban talk to Stephen A. on the podcast yesterday at all?
I haven't heard the whole thing, but I've heard some of it, yeah.
Yeah, it just feels like Cuban's doing his best to go on like a quasi-PR tour just to create a little distance between himself and Patrick Dumont. At least that's the sense I get.
Yeah. And I know that's another thing that just it's another layer to this that structure changed so much when the sale was announced. And, oh, yeah, I'm going to be in charge of basketball operations. And then all of a sudden, I guess the NBA wouldn't okay it, whatever the process was. And then he wasn't a part of it anymore. All of this is just. He really downplays it, but it's got to drive Cuban absolutely crazy that this has happened. Whether he, you know, would have traded Luka or not, I don't think he would have, especially this kind of deal. But just that what he spent years in building, and I would say it was there was a lot of those who bought season tickets. They may not always agree with Cuban, but they trusted him.
Yeah.
And all of that trust of an organization has just been absolutely obliterated.
And they always say time heals everything. But with this trade, I don't know if we're ever going to fully heal. Like, there's going to be things every season where we go back to this. Like, tomorrow, it's the Lakers coming to town for the first time. And like you said, George, we're reliving the trade over again. Like, whenever the Lakers are playing in the playoffs, if they win a series, whenever Luka wins a title, whenever the Lakers get a big-name free agent to go play with Luka and the Mavs are left high and dry, nobody wants to play here, we're always going to go back to this. So I don't think we're ever going to fully escape it.
The only thing, and I thought it that week, and then everybody got hurt, including Kyrie.
Man.
But I really think the only thing that can heal it is time along with winning. And I just don't see how possible that is. That everyone stayed healthy, I think you'd have a really interesting subplot going right now is, are they going to meet in the playoffs and who's the better team and can one of these teams stand up to Oklahoma City? Because I still think it was possible that if – big if, but if AD was healthy and everyone else, you know, Lively didn't get hurt, and certainly Kyrie, I really think that this would be a good team and capable of advancing in the playoffs.
It just feels like there's just so much poison in the DFW well. Like, mm-hmm. the Stars are immune to it right now, and the
Rangers, on wood.
And the Rangers are as well. But just, I think the Cowboy fan DNA really makes this that much worse, because we've dealt with Jerry for 3 decades, and then to see a real supposedly squared away executive do something so reckless, I just think all of it just bubbles out of every Mavs or Cowboys fan that just, you know, has been frustrated just from the star for the last 3 decades.
Well, I think you're right about that, and it, you know, the timing of it as well was right after Cowboy season. So everyone in town's kind of like, golly, not okay, change the coach, but the owner's still the same. Okay, well, at least we have the Stars, and the Mavericks went to the NBA Finals, and then, whoa, what? And I think the timing of it couldn't have been worse, too. Right after another disappointing Cowboys season, this bomb dropped, and it's just, it was, I think that added to the frustration, and those two are now lumped in together, the Mavericks and Cowboys, of, man, they can't do anything right.
I got a weird hypothetical for you, George. If Nico Harrison was the best...
That's Mary Kill. Let's
go. No. If Nico Harrison was the best, like, steel pedal player you've ever heard in your life, would you let him join you with the Bird Dogs at Jub Jam?
Not this one. This one's going to be...
Sit one out.
This one's going to be too special. This one's going to be too good.
Yeah?
I don't need any fired Nico chants going off during this one. No.
But he's so good that he wins the crowd over.
Yeah. Like, it's the best pedal steel we've ever heard. Like, this is like the Hendrix.
And then you and Nico are tied together for the rest of his career.
Man, that's a really tough one. No, I don't think so. I don't think
that's,
so.
That's the right answer, George. Thank you for your bravery. Thank you for your courage to answer that properly.
Yes.
All right, my friend.
Let's play some games this afternoon. Let's get some wins up there. What do you say?
Let's look. I'll take my appearance fee and just put it all on red for you if you want.
Heck yeah.
Sound
let's
good?
Go.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Afternoon Jub, George Dunham, 6 o'clock tomorrow morning with some HSOs with the music.